now that I'm going into brain cancer, May is brain cancer month. St. Pellegrine Day is May 1st.
Wow.
Yeah. That's how this is God the whole time, man. That's why I do this.
This is God the whole time. Talk about it with Fran Jez. Today we have two special guests. Returning guest host, Michael Mukatash, and the chairman of the board and founder of Children's Cancer Society of America, Tell Cancer to Bounce, and No More Love Holds Life. Today's guest is Richard Sinato.
Big Rich.
What's up, brother? Thanks for having me on the show. I'm really excited.
Thanks for coming by, man.
My first podcast, brother.
Perfect.
This is amazing.
It's going to be amazing.
Is it recording or not?
Hell yeah, we're in.
Okay.
We're live, bro.
Okay. Nah. He edits. Nah. So,
not live, but we're recording.
Yeah. Okay, that's cool, man.
So how you doing today?
You know, I'm doing great. This has been a great start of the year so far, 2024. I'm loving it. It has been a great winter. Got to do a lot of self-care. You know, do things that I enjoy. And I'm excited, man. I'm excited about my business and the foundation, the opportunities we're going to have for these kids this year and our new programs that we're coming out with to help children with cancer.
Awesome. Yeah, awesome. Man. We're going to get into a great conversation. Mike, how you doing today?
Doing good. I'm doing good. Thank God. Thank you, bro. How you doing?
I'm very good. I'm excited for this one.
Rich, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
I'm doing good.
Everybody here is good. Yeah. Let's jump straight into it. Let's start from the beginning. Where were you born?
I was born in Tarrytown, New York.
Oh,
Westchester. Westchester County.
And tell us a little bit about your childhood.
So childhood, I grew up in Port Chester, New York. I went to JFK Elementary School. And when I was 7 years old, I moved upstate to Poughkeepsie, Hopewell Junction area, where I lived there from 7 to 15 years old. And it was a great time. I made a lot of great friends. It was very different than being in like the city environment. That's one thing. It was very different. Where in the city environment in Lower Westchester, the school I went to, we were learning Spanish at 4 years old. So, you know, I got to get a taste of two different worlds and, it was a good experience. And then I went upstate. Everything was a lot different. And, I grew up in a little development called Chelsea Cove. We called it the condos. And it was the place to live when we were that age back in the 90s. I'd say that was the last good era growing up in the 90s. You know, your parents, they wanted to make sure you stayed out till the lights came on, you know. Where now all times kids are playing video games. They're not out. They're not socializing. So I think that allowed me that socializing and meeting people and meeting different people and stuff definitely opened that door to, be able to extend my hand out now in my future, my older years, you know, to meet new people and stuff like Mike.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Tell us about the New York Military Academy.
So when I was 15, so growing up, I was crazy, man. I was wild. I was rambunctious. In Chelsea Cove, we were like the condo kids. Nobody messed with us. We were the guys. It was like being on a block down in Yonkers or Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, in the Bronx, Arthur Avenue.
I'm sure it was the same exact scenario.
Yeah,
same.
Yeah. No one. We were the like the crew in our school district and stuff. And so, you know, I got to a lot of little things here and there. I remember middle school, I was suspended like 2-3 times a month. I was always in trouble. And it was really because the assistant principal, God rest her soul, a good friend of mine, Marge Variano, she unfortunately passed away in 2016 from a paraglide accident. She was gave up her career as teaching and being a principal and became like the top instructor paragliding. And she was a good friend of mine over the years after, you know, suspending me all my middle school years. And but she was always there for me. And, it was just unfortunate that crazy accident happened that took her life. But she was always supportive of me. So people like her that even though I was rambunctious and wild, I had a good heart. And my intentions were always pure. And like she was somebody, even though she suspended me, she saw that the good in me, you know. But middle school. So going into New York Military Academy, I had an option in high school. I was in Arlington High School, and it was a little wild and stuff, and a lot of fights and stuff like that. And I had the option either dropping out of school, moving to Florida, my cousins, or going to New York Military Academy. And my dream, my goal in life when I was young was, a lot of people were dropping out and quitting school, friends of mine. I said, no, I'm going to finish high school. That's my goal. I decided to go to New York Military Academy. So I left the house at 15 years old, learned to be on my own, learned to be independent. And it was a great experience. I made friends from life from that experience and from living there. I have friends all across the world, the country, different countries. So you learned, and being there learned and taught me how to be a man, how to public speak. You know, we had a whole class called JROTC, which a lot of people in regular schools would go to before they would, you know, want to go to the military. So it really taught me how to be independent, how to take care of myself, how to be a man. And again, in business, it helped me with public speaking. That's how I went into
business. What did you grow up with? Like mom, dad?
My mom. So mom. It was my mom. Yeah, I grew up with my mom mainly. My dad was always in and out. My mom's relationship was very bad. I grew up with my mom.
I like that the military school, the discipline, the strict atmosphere you said raised you to be a man.
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, the mom, 100%. You know, the mom takes care of you. She loves you. She makes sure you don't die like your doctor, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, the dad's supposed to mold you.
Yeah.
You know, and God bless, man. You're a fine young man from what I see, bro.
Thanks.
The Cancer Society, can you tell us what inspired this, friend? Am I jumping the gun with you?
No, I want to talk about everything.
Yeah, so
let's do it.
So
what inspired the, from what I understand, I'm sorry, before you continue, you were very successful, very financially stable, mm-hmm. right? Coming from a single parent home, was a success, and then gave all of that up to start a cancer fund, right?
Correct, yes. So how the Cancer Society came into place, the original name was Love Holds Life. We decided to rebrand because we wanted to do a national push. The name Love Holds Life came from my mother. So my mother's a 16-year breast cancer survivor. And when I decided to go into this industry, she says, why don't you do the name Love Holds Life? You know, without love, there's no life. And it's a true statement. And to rewind back to my childhood, this to bring this up, is growing up, he was like my older brother. I consider him my brother. His name was Michael Capobianco, and he passed away at the age of 20. He was 3 years older than me. He was my brother growing up. It's funny, but I started wearing boxers because of him. You know, I was still wearing tiny whiteys, you know what I'm saying? Back in the day. So, when he came up to Chelsea Cove, I think I was 10 years old. And I was like, Mom, I need to get some boxers. You know, I'm not wearing these tidy whiteys anymore. So, unfortunately, Michael passed away in a horrific car accident. He was active in the military. He was on duty that it happened. And, he's my guardian angel. He's my brother. And fast forward with my organization, the first child I sponsored that I was brought in, this came up, is a friend of mine, Alan. He said, hey, can you help my friend? At the time, he was a captain in Mount Vernon Fire Department, Ricky Montana. And his son, Michael, got diagnosed at the age of 11, I believe, with a leukemia cancer. So he said, go meet the guy, see what you can do. Maybe you can help him out. At the time, I was volunteering for Habitat for Humanity, Red Cross of Dutchess County, doing a lot of fundraising for them on the side, outside of my business. I had a marketing company in the construction industry. So I go meet this guy, tall, 6'4", firefighter, big Italian guy. And he says, listen, this is the situation with my son. Why don't you start an organization? You help my son and you'll help, hundreds of kids after that, right? So when he told me his son's name was Michael, I says, oh my God, that's a sign. You know, even though Michael didn't die of cancer, thank God, he did die at a young age and he was my brother. And I said, this is what I'm supposed to do. So I says, all right, I'm going to figure it out. How much money do you need? The guy's close to $100,000. Crazy. So at that time, to my knowledge, Maria Ferrer Children's Hospital was an out-of-network hospital for cancer, for the civil service workers in Mount Vernon, whatever their union was with, it was out of network. So he had to pay out of pocket for a lot of stuff outside of his insurance. So I'll never forget, the first check I ever wrote to a doctor was $27,000. I still have a copy of the check for Michael's doctor bill. And
that was a fundraiser?
Yeah, so in 6 months, I started the organization March 12th. We founded it and stuff. This was like 4 months after talking to Ricky about his son. We founded it on March 12th. And then I decided to go full-time with the organization in June. So from June 2012 to, I want to say October or November 2012, we raised $119,000. And we raised money for, we had sponsored Michael and three other children that had cancer. So we had like our four original kids that we helped during our founding of the organization. And it wasn't until our second child, Vinny Vespa, you can look him up. The guy, his story is amazing. He beat lymphoma cancer in 6 months. He was all national wrestler champion. I think finished second on nationals that year because he couldn't breathe and they diagnosed him with cancer. But Vinny, he conquered cancer. He went on to getting a scholarship to West Point, wrestled for them for a little while before he went, later he went to a college down in Long Island. What's a college in Long Island?
Let's see if I can Google it real quick.
I forget the name of it now. Long Island. It's by the...
Well, lucky Francisco's the editor.
Long Island University?
Which one? No, no, no.
Long Island College.
No, it starts
College.
With an M, I think.
Anyway, what is El Mohim in Arabic? They say El Mohim, and then you continue.
So meeting Vinny. Vinny was the first kid and first person ever in my life that I saw have cancer. So like my grandparents passed away of cancer. I knew a lot of people with cancer, but I never seen someone go through the beginning stages of treatment. And Vinny, you know, he had no hair. Yeah, he was very skinny. He lost a lot of weight, very sickly looking. When I met Michael, you know, he had his hair back and stuff. He was, you know, on his way of recovery. So Vinny, he was really my inspiration to continue doing this and do this full time. When I saw this little kid, he was 14 at the time, fighting for his life, and everybody was behind him. You know, we got behind him. We were able to give him $10,000 in a grant, and you know, now he's 26 years old. He's a PA teacher at Monroe High School where he grew up in Woodbury Commons. And he's doing phenomenal. He's amazing. Doing great. I talked to him, and he is. And I got to have breakfast with him years later. And I told him, "Listen, Vinny, you're the reason why I decided to do this and sell out to this, because seeing you and what you went through, you know, it was just, I never experienced that before." And I said, "This is why I'm doing this." So Vinny Vespa is the reason. May not have been the reason why I started it, but he's the reason why I decided to do this and sell out to it.
Nice.
You know, and it's been 12 years now, going on 13 years.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I found a few Long Island colleges. Is it Molloy?
No.
All right. From the top, LIU, Hofstra.
Hofstra.
There you go.
That's an H.
That's the second Hofstra. One. Hofstra. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so Vinny became an all-time wrestler at Hofstra.
Nice.
So, you know.
My man.
That's where he graduated college from.
He used to wrestle friend, right?
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah, I loved it.
Shout out to cousin Luke, too. Dr. Luke. He was a wrestler, right?
Yes, he was.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yes, he was.
Oh, man.
Let's jump back a little bit. Johnston Community College. Tell us a little bit about that.
So there is where, okay, so this goes back to military school. I'm going to say it. You can edit if you want to edit out. So I'm going to tell you the story. It's crazy. All right, so military school, right? There's a lot of my life changed with military school. I'm going to tell you right now. My life changed. If I didn't go there, the one thing my parents did, my mother, my stepdad, that they did for me my whole life, the only thing they really ever did for me was they paid for me to go to military school, because it changed my life forever. So Johnston Community College, all right? So
it's important, bro.
I didn't graduate from New York Military Academy. I'm a non-graduate alumni, right? So the junior year that I was there, there was this woman. She was a school nurse. I'm not going to say her name.
I don't know how you remember that. Who remembers this girl?
Yeah. So her name was. And back then.
Shout out to.
Yeah, shout out.
Yo, no, so, respectfully. Respectfully. Of course, respectfully. Man. And shout out to all the
so,
nurses.
So there's
bro.
A sad part to the story. So what? Unfortunately, her husband committed suicide. I never met him. He committed suicide on campus, right? He was a TAC officer. He was a retired intelligence officer in the military. He unfortunately committed suicide. So 6 months later, I always knew her because she was the night nurse. She was the nurse. I never met her husband. He was not in my barracks. He wasn't our supervisor. So long story short, I didn't graduate from there because I ended up having a relationship with my school nurse. I was with her for a year and a half.
I figured that that's the only reason why you would remember her name. Nah, yeah. Edit her name out, cuz. Nah, yeah. I wouldn't leave that name.
Yeah. Whatever you want to do. She's
I
don't care. If you care, sure.
Yeah, you can edit her name out. So anyway,
stop, bro. Chill.
Do whatever you want to do. So anyways, so I ended up having a relationship.
He's the boss. I don't know if you noticed. He's going to do whatever he wants to do.
Yeah, so I had a relationship with her. I was
it's whatever he wants. I'm down to keep the name in because it doesn't affect
I don't care. I was 17. I was 17 years old, right? You know, we're impressionable at that age, whatever. You know, she was 29. She was a night nurse, school nurse. She was, you know, a hot nurse. I don't know what she looks like now, but, you know, she was – everyone loved this woman, right? And all the officers that worked there, all the people, they all were after her. So they all hated on me when I got her. So I would go in and out of
banging
her apartment.
Banging the school nurse.
Yeah, banging the school nurse.
But how old were you?
I was 17.
Oh, perfect.
It was legal.
Oh, okay.
It was private school. So who's going to do nothing?
Military on top of that. Oh, my God.
So,
dude,
we all have those fantasies.
We'll see you in 40 seconds.
I had those fantasies. Want to be with your teacher. You got a hot teacher, right?
Oh, so, everybody had a hot teacher.
Yeah.
Wow, man.
But yeah, my school nurse, you know?
Yeah. You.
I had those visits at the nurse's office at night. It were great.
Wow.
Great times. Good times. Good times, my man. Good times.
Yo,
cheers, man. To that.
Cheers.
Cheers to good times.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie, man. I think you'll be fun in podcasting, bro. You're a little crazy, like you said, bro. I believe you on that one.
Yeah, yeah.
But
this is going to be a good conversation. I love it so far.
Yeah,
so,
I got a lot of stories. Yeah.
Johnston Community College is a part of the same military school?
So basically what happened, I ended up leaving the military academy. I took a half a year off. I took my senior year. I took half of it off. And I ended up moving with her to North Carolina.
Wow.
The nurse. I moved with her. She got me a car and stuff. And
yeah, she got you a car.
Yeah.
Sugar mama.
Oh, man, you've been getting the free ride for a long time.
No, that was the only time. The past 18 years, I've been paying. Two Puerto Rican women in 18 years. Forget about it. Forget about it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Both older women, too, because I guess she started a trend. My ex-wife is...
You got a type.
My ex-wife is 10 years older. My girlfriend now is 15 years older.
You got a type.
So... Yeah,
what's
I
his name? Oh, man. Cut it out. Damn, Gus.
There we go. You know, the other thing, too, look, like, we're here today, my first podcast. Mike, his name's Michael.
You know, my first podcast, bro. Right? No.
You know, so, like, there's always, I believe, I'm a very, you know, big believer in Christ. I'm a religious person. And,
I'm sorry. Wait, that's the wrong segue, bro. After the nurse story,
whatever, he can edit it. So
I don't like.
But
to
I
edit
believe
the
in.
Oh, yeah, you know,
I believe in signs. There's always signs, right? There's always signs.
Yeah,
so going back to my foundation, we're here because of my foundation, right? And you know, I know I'm a crazy guy, but I live in a serious world because I help children. And
yeah, that's beautiful.
And you know, there's God has always led me to do what I do. You know, going through life, I wanted to do this, I wanted to do that. Nothing ever panned out, nothing worked. My foundation always has worked. It's never failed. I've never had to worry about where my funding's coming from. Nothing. It's always been there. Every child I brought in always was able to take care of them 100%, tenfold. And I believe because, you know, this was my destiny, and God chose me to do this. This is what he chose me to do, and I do it to the best as I can do it.
How do you go about funding?
funding. A lot of our funders are like small businesses. We have corporate sponsors like Sam's Club, Home Depot. What else? Sam's Club. Yeah, Walmart is one. We have a lot of big sponsors, and a lot of them are mom and pop businesses like Michael. He's got, you know, a local business contractor. We have a lot of contractors, a lot of men ran businesses outside of our salon owners who we have that help during our toy drive. A lot of it are like guys in the service industry, like guys like Mike, you know, and I met him doing a fundraiser at a Dunkin' Donuts. That's how I met a lot of my sponsors. Yeah. You know?
My friends would be like, right. OD Dunkin' Donuts. Everybody. You know, of course they saw him at Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah. Yep. So,
yo, Chris, man, I said Chris.
So he called me Chris, right? My whole life, anyone who fucked up my name always calls me fucking Chris.
Wind up in the back
of
Terrytown.
I must be a Chris in my other life. I don't know.
But you got the personality, you know what I'm saying? You're live, you're a big personality, you're good with sales, you're very good with sales, I see, you know, and that whole, whole talent swagger
here.
You got.
No, I'm all for children.
We're always selling ourselves in some way, right?
Yeah.
But no,
well, that's the thing. People help me because of they know I'm doing this for the right reasons. I'm doing everything right. So they're supporting. I guess I am selling myself to them. They're supporting me and my mission for these kids.
Bro, one of the hardest things is walking up to people and taking money for nothing, and you got to trust them. And that's it. That's not easy. Me and your brother, you know, what we would do back in the day? People wouldn't trust you to knock on their door to shovel. Imagine going and asking for money, you know? But how does that go? Does it, like, okay, the goal is you need to raise money for X amount, or are you, like, constantly giving to a certain place and you need to meet that quota?
So basically, the first few years, I never put a budget together. I said, they're like, well, how do you budget? How do you get all this money away? I said, I don't know. God does it. I just give it out, you know? Amen. And at this moment, I believe I was the youngest ever in, at least in New York, I know, with a full-time running foundation at the age of 26. I was 26 years old when I started this. I left a big salary in my other business to do this. And basically, I just let God kind of run it. And the money just kept coming in. And I kept giving it out and kept giving it out. So I never put a budget together like obviously I do now, you know. So I was the only charity in the country. And I know I can say this because I've sat with private organizations that are way bigger than mine. Be Positive organization is one of them. Great organization. This gentleman, Joe McDonough, he's the founder. His son, Andrew, unfortunately passed away of cancer years ago. And I remember having breakfast with him 2016 in Delaware. That's where he's based out of. And he said, Rich, why do you give so much money out to these families? I says, I don't want to just put a Band-Aid on their situation. I want to solve their problem. He says, well, that's good and dandy. He says, you know, our organization does millions a year and we give out a certain amount that they give out. And he says, let me ask you, Rich, what is the biggest hurdle that you face giving? We would give families an average of $25,000, $35,000. I have over half a dozen families I've given almost $70,000 to over the years. And I said, well, unfortunately, the kids, my survival rate for our kids are very high. I said, but unfortunately, they don't pay it forward, these families. They don't give back. They tried to strong arm me before, some of these families. And he says, well, it's because, Rich, he said, because you're giving too much. You're giving something that they never would have even received. He says, you stick to $1,000 a month. I mean, $1,000 a year, you'll see a difference in their, them getting more involved. And he was absolutely right. It took me from that meeting in 2016, it took me till now. What are we in? 2024. Because I had so many kids and I grandfathered people in because I just wanted to do the right thing. It's taken me this year, many years, 8 years to change my program around now so I could help more people and have a bigger influence and also have more brand recognition. So,
Because realistically, you're just giving these people cash for them to do whatever they please with. Or is it just for their,
it's for medical
stuff.
And it's for like, we have two different funds, right? We have a medical fund and we have a legacy partnership fund. So our medical fund funds the family in its entirety, right? So if you want to donate, if you're listening right now and say, I'm going to throw a name out there, 50 Cent. If you want to make a donation to the Children's Cancer Society, right, you can give to our family medical fund. You want to write a $100,000 check, 100% of that money will go directly to helping children and helping our mission. All right. If you want to donate to the legacy fund, which helps the business run, 100% of that donation will go there. So me having two funds, I give the opportunity to the donor like Michael to decide how he wants to fund our organization. He can do 70-30, whatever he wants to do. I was able to do that because in the beginning I gave so much out, and the only way I could afford to give a family $50,000 if I separated the funds. So that's how we do it. And I built it for the first two and a half years, we raised $750,000 just by doing coin drop events. We did in front of Walmart, Sam's Clubs, Stop and Shop, ShopRites, Acme's, which were A&P back then. So that's how I raised the first pretty much $1 million, was just standing outside of grocery stores and gas stations. That's it. You know? So now fast forward, we know we do a lot of events. We've done a lot of golf outings, motorcycle rides. Shout out to the Hell's Angels up in Troy, New York. They started helping doing us our new motorcycle rides and stuff. But you know, we're here because of people like Michael, really, the mom and pop businesses that support us and believe in our mission.
Well, let me ask you something. The stigmatism for these guys, right? For non-for-profits that collect donation. It's like what people say about church. Oh, they just want my money. They just want my money.
Yeah.
At least church is a building you can walk in. You see the expenses for your own eyes. And then they're telling you exactly what they're doing. For you, you can't really do all of that in 1 minute when you meet somebody.
Yeah.
So how do you overcome that hurdle? That's a huge, huge rollover to have to do. It's a sales time rollover.
Well, for as far as for donors, I mean, I meet a lot of donors from those events. And then I did a lot of just walking into businesses. I'd have a local referral from a town or a city I was in. And that local referral was someone that was respected and well-known. And I use their name and say, hey, they're supporting me. They told me I should talk to you. And maybe you feel the same way, want to support.
Is that a strategy? Like you 100%, go for the big dog in the neighborhood?
Yep, 100%.
And then use... That's pretty...
Yeah, that's why I came to you. You're the big dog in Yonkers.
not even close, bro. But... But yeah, man, that's
we're going to blow up Yonkers. You know, and also shout out to Latasha Diaz, councilwoman. We do stuff with her, and I told her about you and what you've done for me this past year. And, you know, those people who have reputable reputations, once they see that I'm legit and I'm the real deal, they get behind me, and then, you know, doors open. You use their name to get in a door and help out another family.
Yeah, he makes things happen. He did had a nice toy drive over December, and then you were passing some stuff that we were able to pass over to a few local spots in Yonkers to pass out.
Yeah,
and I appreciate that you came through on that, bro. On your word, you said you were gonna bring some, and then you said you were gonna bring more toys, and then you said you'll bring more.
Yep.
Then you said on top of that, I'll bring more. And then I'll send you to go pick some up.
Yeah, and then, I did. Put Mike to work already.
Every single time, bro. And I was like, all right, no doubt. You know, that's what's up, man. Yeah. I mean, you gotta bring it. I remember trying to put my cousin on, very intelligent engineer, but street mind, right? I was like, yo, check out this. And it was not for profit, church, life related type influencing, you know, to better yourself. All right, shout out Off the Left Eye. And I tell him, yo, check it out. And then within minutes, the dude, the host, right, he asked for like contributions. And then soon the first thing my cousin says, oh, see, they're already asking for money. And then he's like, wow. So that, I keep bringing that up, but it's the hurdle constantly every day, right?
Yeah, 100%.
And
yeah, I could do so much more than I do already, but I learned to... You have to put self-care into your life because I was burnt out many times doing this. There was times I wanted to quit. 3 years in, I didn't want to do this no more. It was like emotional, physically draining. It was tough. And then, you know, when you have those certain families that just want to drain everything out of you and, you know, and and just try to like take everything from you, it's tough.
What do you mean? Like when you get a receiving family and they're overdoing it? Yeah. Well, yeah, your guy, to his point, his guy's point, that told him you got to give a thousand, distribute a thousand a year. I think a year is a lot for a thousand to go for a family. Like, what are you going to do? Help fill up gas tank? You know what I'm saying? But still, but maybe whatever the number is, he obviously knows more than me. But it's crazy how you give somebody too much, you spoil them. Even correct. If they're broke and starving.
Yep.
You get, that's the same
even
thing.
Even if their kid is in the hospital. Same thing.
Yeah, yeah, because
people
easy
are
to...
people at the end of the day. It doesn't matter.
It's like, what are they really going to spend it on?
They'll use their child to like raise three times the amount of money after the child is done with cancer just to keep them out there. It's, you know, you deal with people are people, man.
I mean, but, is it desperate? Like, what is it, though? Is it the desperation?
You know, I think they just get into desperation.
Or is it the greed? Is it
I think it's a little bit of everything, you know? But here's my thing. I finally learned that, for one thing, I would always worry about the people that weren't there instead of worrying about the people that were there showing up. So then years later, I learned, listen, who cares about the people that don't want to make me a thank you video, don't want to do this? My attention needs to go to the people that want to do something, that want to give back, that want to support me, that want to make a video. Thank you for helping our family. Thank you. I mean, I've had families, I ask, hey, can you do a thank you video? You know, we just gave them X amount of money. It's like crickets.
I was thinking about that, the thank you videos. You need that. Like, if people will look at him like, you know, it's going to generate in your mind for them, yo, oh, I can donate too, or I can help too, or maybe they want to do it selfishly, even who cares? It's going to end up being a good contribution. So however you can get it and you promote it, that sounds like a daunting, I keep, because I'm a business mind, right? I got a background in business school, and, you know, there's certain things, you know, in techniques that you got to get done. And there's, when you see the level of how difficult it is to succeed in a non-for-profit, it's insane.
Oh, it's a lot of work. I mean, it's not, excuse me, Jesus.
No, no, it's go not, crazy.
It's nonstop. It's a, you edit that one out.
You almost have to put on an image and keep the image, I think.
You
in
do it.
In certain respect, like say you love to drink beer or something, right? And you're a member of the church. You don't want to be seen around the community drinking beer. You got to, like, keep it private. Like, it's not ashamed about, but for a priest it is, or for whatever, you know, we just give you an association.
Yeah.
And we think you have to live to the standard just because your job is, like, a very nice job.
Correct, yeah.
You know, that's unfair.
I've always felt like that, too. I've always feel like I couldn't talk about certain things because I would always be judged. And I think another reason, my only regret, I have to say, I have one regret with my organization. And this is important. This is what I'm teaching a friend of mine who has a new nonprofit. So he doesn't make these same mistakes. And my one thing I didn't do was I never created an endowment for my organization. What that is basically you create a fund and it's just, you have a goal, how much money you want in there. And that money will help fund the organization. So I don't have to be running around or sending out Dunkin' Donuts 12 years later. Or if I, God forbid, I die tomorrow, my foundation will continue. If I die tomorrow, my foundation won't continue if I don't have those things set up, right? So just doing the math the other day before coming on the show, I said, I should have at least $1.5 million in an operating account. But I always gave to the families, overgave. I had to take care of myself. I had to live and have a life. But I never put that money back into the business to grow, to hire somebody, to do those bigger things. And that's the one mistake. So now going into this whole new rebrand, the whole new project of what we're going to do and going into now research, we have to take care of the organization because I want this to go for another 50 years after me. Just like Danny Thomas did with St. Jude's, you know, St. Jude's.
Excuse the hard-hitting question and forgive me for my ignorance, but is $1.5 million a lot for an operation of your size?
100%. It would change everything.
Oh yeah, but that's like sounds like more like $100 million and $100.5 million to operate and expand, not operate as is now, right?
I'm confused.
Like you said that you would want $1.5 million in the bank for operating for like cash on hand, basically.
Correct. So basically,
what kind of aspirations? I mean, would you like how's this business running? $1.5 million, is that normal for a not for profit? Of your size?
So how what it would do for us? So if we, so say if I did do it like that, right? I had created this endowment, had that 1.5, it would allow for now for my XD mansion, it would allow opportunities to maybe hire that real good executive director or an event committee or something to grow it from what we do now to exponential. Because it takes money to make money, as you know, in a business. So it would just, it would basically say we go to the hospital in the first of the year. They're like, well, here's 20 applications. Well, then I can just write a check for 20,000 right off the bat, or 50,000, or 100,000. So that endowment allows a lot more opportunity, right? So that, because it takes money to do what we do. So it would make things a lot less stressful, and it would just allow a lot more growth potential, and also to be able to help more kids too, right off the bat.
Do you give yourself a salary?
I don't. So my salary is very minimal. My salary is 24,000, and you know, we have I get reimbursed my expenses and stuff, but I never took a real salary, and there's a lot of reasons for that. You know, tax reasons and stuff like that. So
that's yo, listen,
I don't
want
to tell my secret out here either.
Let me be honest.
It's legal, but I ain't saying it.
Let me be honest with the people, bro. And you know your boy Mike is from Yonkers.
Yeah, yeah.
Like really from Yonkers, yeah. Right? So, well, during Obama's time, businesses were paying 40% corporate tax, bro.
Yeah.
Plus the 8.375 tax from New York State. That's almost 50%. That means every dollar a businessman's going to make is going to pull out, friend, and give back 50%.
Yeah.
You know, it took until Trump came to get it popping, bro. Because
2024, Donald Trump.
Yeah. People.
Pretty much.
Richard Sonato, and I approve this message.
I ain't gonna lie,
and
man.
Donald Trump is a big supporter of childhood cancer. Hats off to that man and his family. He raised millions, hundreds of millions of dollars for the St. Jude's organization.
My man.
Damn, fine.
So, real quick, come back to the salary, right? So, my salary is minimal, 24,000, right? I have other sources of income. So, basically, if I were to pay myself the salary I should have, like 138,000, that's really where my salary should be at. The organization would have to pay $175,000. And then I'd be taxed on $138,000. So I basically would be giving away $80,000.
Well, yeah, what kind of corporation you have? S-Corp
LLC. Nonprofit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. S-Corp.
So basically, if you pay yourself $138,000, the nonprofit would have to pay an additional $25,000, $30,000 on top of that money.
One time some lady asked
That's money that can go to a child. That'll take care of what? 30 kids. So why am I going to give the government money that can help 30 families?
No, you got to be smart and accountant. If you're running your own business, you need to understand some level of managerial accounting and how the money's moving within the company.
Creative financing. That's what it's all about. And it's all legal.
Yeah.
They say, oh, only the rich can do loop. No, there's all loopholes. It's all legal. The government was never intended to take all of our money. We let them take the money.
I mean, thankfully, they kept Trump's tax code after in New York, at least.
Because you got the DA York, guy who weighs $42 million. He don't want to lose his money, Democrat.
Yeah, nobody that makes money and risks everything on the line to make money, you know, wants to make less. Like, who wants to make and give half to Uncle Sam, bro? That's insane.
Yep.
24% plus the 8%, that's better than 50%, you know?
Yep.
But you heard about that? The trucks are the truckers.
No, I didn't hear about that.
There's truckers that won't go into New York, they said, because they got Trump. You know that judge that said Trump is ordered to pay $300 million, like 350 or 380? All the truckers said, yo, we're not going into New York until they reverse it or something.
Good for them.
Yeah, so I can imagine there's a lot of independent truckers that even maybe Walmart and places like that would rely on hiring to get their stuff across. I don't know. Maybe they have their own. But you'll feel it in some respect, for sure. I mean, look at the Houthis, what they're doing in Yemen. We're bombing the ships, bro. You're feeling it on products right now. And as we should, it's a small price to pay to have a ceasefire, bro.
So speaking of Yemen, it's funny how Mike just brought this up. So Yemen, so this ring, I don't know if you can see it. I can show the camera.
Hell yeah.
So this ring right here, right, is from Yemen. There's a story behind this ring. So back like 6 years ago, I took care of this little boy. His name was Raid. and his family's from Yemen.
Right, in Arabic.
And they're from, they live in the Bronx. The dad came over years ago. His son came over, and he got really bad cancer called rhabdomyosarcoma. It's very, very, very aggressive, very serious cancer. Most kids do not survive from it. And after we were done helping him, thank God he survived. And also going back to Trump, unfortunately, it was during the ban, right? The Yemen ban back then. Mm-hmm. So at the time, I did a lot of stuff behind the scenes and got very involved with politics, you know. So I got to rub arms with some really nice guys that were in politics. And at the time, Congressman Patrick Maloney was in office, upstate New York, District 18 at the time. And what I did was I contacted his office, and they turned me to the Department of State. And the reason why we did this was because Riyadh, his chances of survival were coming. They didn't think he was going to survive. This was about the end of November. So his mother couldn't come here because of the Yemen lockdown. So what we did was, as an organization, is we reached out. We sent a letter on a letterhead. We got the Department of State involved. They helped the mother go from Yemen to Egypt, Egypt to here. We got her here, in 5 months. It would have taken her over a year. She would never have made it. The day she arrived, a couple days later, thank God it was a miracle. He beat cancer. He's 18 now, cancer free, drives a car. And but at the end of his treatment, about 2 years later, his father wore this ring all the time during his cancer. And when his son survived, the dad gave me the ring as a thank you to helping his family and his son, because nobody would help them. Because a lot of organizations also won't help. Just because you're here with treatment, if you're not a citizen, they will not help you. So we help a lot of kids from like Jamaica, Dominican Republic. We just got two applications from the Dominican New York Presbyterian and for Columbia Presbyterian, Morgan Stanley Children's Hospital, for two kids that are originally from the Dominican Republic that are staying in the Ronald McDonald House. A lot of organizations won't help these children if they don't have citizenship.
You work with the hospital ever in Westchester Medical, the Maria Ferrari, I think?
No, not too much. We did when we first started. We had a lot of kids from there. Going back to that, so Maria Ferrer Children's Hospital, great hospital. We particularly work with Columbia Presbyterian as our main hospital, with the social workers there. They're the number one biggest children's hospital here in New York State, especially when it comes to cancer and also cardiovascular. So Maria Ferrer Children's Hospital, going to our toy drive that Mike was talking about. This was our 10th year, I believe, our annual toy drive, and it was in memory of Leticia DeSantos. Leticia was a young girl, came here from Brazil, lived in Mount Vernon. She was like a daughter to me. I consider her my daughter. I took care of her for 3 years. I was with her every step of the way through her cancer. She was treated at Maria Ferrera. And unfortunately, at the age of 16 years old, she passed away. I was there when she passed away, right there in my arms with her family. And it was really hard for me. I was really close to her. I never really even like dealt with that whole grieving process over her. It was wild. It was crazy. It was really sad. So really after that was like probably the last time, to go to your question, Mike, I really got involved with Maria Ferrer Children's Hospital. There's a lot of things that was going on there I didn't agree with, but they are a great hospital. But it was, I never stepped back into that hospital since she passed away. But they are a good hospital, but I believe she should have got that second opinion. And unfortunately, her doctors, they were stopping her. Here's the thing with cancer, right? It happens more with kids than adults. Adults can fight it. When you're in a hospital, you want to get that second opinion. You're tired of it. You want to get that second opinion. They will do whatever it takes to not let you leave that hospital, because you are a number to them. That's all you are. You're a dollar sign to every bed in there. And I believe she could have had a chance, because there was a lot of progress going on down at Morgan Stanley with Ewing sarcoma. And we had this girl, unfortunately, she passed away. She had cancer like 8 times, relapsed with bone cancer, same cancer. But, you know, I feel that Leticia could have had more time, you know, if she had got that second opinion. So, but they are a great hospital. I know many kids that they've saved their lives in that hospital. But, you know, going to that hospital brings me back to Leticia. I love that girl. I took her to her first Broadway show. You know, I was there every step of the way. And one night that she was supposed to pass, me and one of my board members, Arenos, we were there praying all night, and she made it through. You know, she didn't want to let go. You know, I didn't want her to let go. And but her is the reason why we started the toy drive. She wanted to give toys out to kids.
Wow. So, yeah. Rest in peace to her, man.
Yeah. So 10 years, we're going strong. I'll never stop that toy drive, whether I do it every year. I do it in the Bronx, and, you know, we continue doing it in Yonkers.
Yeah, we'll kick back to the barbershop with Danny. Shout out to Danny. Paper cuts, Yonkers Avenue, man.
Yeah, partnered last minute to get some toys to the kids in the community. Yeah, so that was great, nice. Man. It was nice.
We'll definitely God do a big bless, thing man. Next year.
Definitely.
Yeah, inshallah, man. Inshallah every year, bro. God willing.
You've mentioned God and religion a few times. What is your personal relationship with God right now?
So, you know, it's great that you asked that question. You know, I've had a rough 2.5 years myself. I'm not going to go into my personal business, but I've been through a lot of stuff. I've seen a lot of stuff happen, and I never lost my faith. Even after losing these children and losing friends and a girlfriend to this disease, I never lost my faith. I never questioned God, ever. You can't. And, you know, I'm a Catholic, Roman Catholic. I go to church on Sundays. We go down to St. Patrick's Cathedrals now that I'm back in New York. And, you know, early January, after going through a rough time I was going through with life, you know, I started going back to church again. Every morning I'd go to morning mass. I was just praying to God, praying to Jesus to just give me that strength, give me that protection. Because, you know, people like myself, like Michael and other people in high-ranking positions in their industry, you know, we can't do it on our own. We shouldn't have to. We got God. We could turn to God. You know, that's what we could turn to.
Amen.
And I think it's very important that we do that as human beings. And, you know, something I talked about before we started the show, that I'm looking to start something, you know, another nonprofit or maybe just a movement called Power Through Prayer. That was inspired by my doctor who inspired me to become a chaplain in 2016 for my foundation. You know, going and praying with kids and praying with family members and adults and just anybody who's sick and who's, you know, unfortunately dying of cancer. So that's my real passion. So if I had that $100 million, that's really what I would do. Let people run my foundation and just go and pray and pray with the sick and just give them hope. Because all we could do is give them hope.
You know, I remember, unfortunately, Jordan, where my parents were raised, is it has the, I don't know if it still does, I hope it doesn't, but the highest ratio of cancer to people out of any group of people in the world. And that's insane. And you're talking like almost every house got cancer in it, bro. Everybody got, every Arab, yeah, every Arab I know got one or two relatives that died of cancer. Like, that's immediate relatives. Uncles, aunts, grandparents, something like that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know, and God forbid, you know, on our families, but it's tough, bro. And the praying, one might say, okay, you're just praying. I mean, you know, thank God you're giving, you know, you're helping generate income and praying. But the praying matters.
100%.
Whether you believe in prayer and who we're praying to, that's besides the point. Your blood cells, I believe the doctor said, the white blood cells increase when you're happy.
Yeah.
Right? I believe it's the white blood cells, and it matters when you're happy. You know, just like it matters if you're depressed all day. It's not going to be a good side effect, you know, for your life. So praying definitely boosts that. And most doctors, by the way, they're not allowed to tell you that. I got a best friend, like a brother, right, that tells me he can't straight up tell people to pray, meditate, diet, exercise, read. What was it?
Sleep
basically
well.
Sleep well.
Sleep's important. You got to sleep. Self-care.
And work, because you need to work too, right? Like, basically the six basic things we already know he can't say because he got to keep up a quota because his boss got to make sure they write X amount of this and X amount of that. And that's real deal, bro. He can't tell people to meditate. He can't tell people to pray, nothing. Can't tell people to that whole list I just mentioned.
That's crazy.
Well, when you have a boss, that's pretty much how it is, right?
Yeah.
If you had your own practice, maybe it's a little, you know,
I'm
more
sure
loose,
you can, yeah. You know? Yeah, absolutely. Oh, my doctor, yeah. He tells me, used to tell me about the fasting.
Oh, fasting is huge. I fast about 17 hours a day.
Nice.
Fast, yeah. Nice. Fast every day.
I think 20.
Except on vacation.
Yeah?
Yeah. These past couple of weeks, I've been eating.
I'll tell you the secret, man. I'll tell everybody the secret right now. No matter your willpower, you start with 16 hours for 6 months. I don't care how strong you are. And you can go, oh, I can go 24 hours today. Big deal. You can do it today and tomorrow. You're not going to do it all year.
Yeah.
You do 16 hours for 6 months every day, Monday through Sunday, which is a lot of time to eat, bro. That's 8 hours of eating.
Yeah.
Right? It's going to be so normal for you to fast that anywhere you are in the world, you'll be able to fast. I fasted before, not for intermittent fasting, but for Christian, like Lent season, right? In Jordan, before I was getting married, right? And I fasted in Jordan, bro, my favorite meal, shawarma, which is the Arabic gyro, basically, yeah, so right? Imagine in Jordan, bro. Oh, my God. And well, I didn't
food
eat
tastes
it,
so
bro.
Different in everywhere but America.
Yeah,
the
look,
food's so much better.
Whether God's going to bless you or not for doing that, that's irrelevant. The point is the discipline that it gives you is pretty impressive. And the health benefits, of course.
And the clarity of mind, too.
Oh, man, I feel like a supercomputer, bro. One day, when I'm on, like, when you hit 18 and a half hours yeah. plus, it's insane, yeah, yeah. bro. The clarity
like
and the energy, everything.
Yeah.
Like, limitless.
Limitless. One time, oh, I think man. The longest I went, I think I did, like, 32 hours fast and didn't even realize I didn't eat. Just went. Just did it.
Yeah, the longest 32. I ever did was 38, man. I can't pass that for some... I couldn't get close to that recently. 27, 28, I can do.
If you're busy, like active,
it's
like
the best.
Yeah, you get used to it. It's all a mind thing in the beginning.
So that's the secret to life, being busy.
It is.
Look, two ways you can really get through like a bad 10 years in your life. Denial and staying busy. Yeah, if you true. Stay busy long enough, you can deny whatever the hell's bothering you to get through whatever you're doing. And by the time you hit the sack at night, it's lights out, bro.
Distractions.
Yeah,
that's,
but
that's
but
very unhealthy.
Obsessions.
Yeah. That's very unhealthy.
Of course it is. But if you got to get through it, like, God forbid somebody's dying of cancer, you can't, there's not too much to do about it besides praying and keeping them comfortable and company.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta bury it and keep moving. I mean, yeah, you should work it out if you could. But if you stopped in your tracks, bro, in life, the bills are coming and you got to get things going, what else are you going to do?
I think you should work through it also. Distractions are not good.
Of course, yeah. I mean,
I think work through everything, accept everything, and just be aware of everything. This is, I got, my next topic is pretty deep. You know how people can't accept children having cancer?
Huge
because
thing.
Especially when you're a religious and
yeah, they hate God over
you're
it.
Right
it's God's fault.
You've been walking with God your whole life and your child has cancer. Yeah. It doesn't make sense to you.
It does.
It does. To
it me. Does now to me.
Please explain.
Well, you were going to explain. I think
either one of you.
You can go. Yeah, go. What's your opinion on it?
I mean, first, God said it rains on the rich and it rains on the poor. And God also, like, he also mentions, I believe in Matthew or Mark, where he talks about, like there's earthquakes and there's things that happen. They, like, there's a system, and God created that system. That's why he was born as a baby and came into this world as a baby.
Yeah.
Because he made a divine order. You know what I mean? It's like the order of operations for math, but for God, they're on a way more level that we can't understand, right? So he has to come into this world as a baby, just like you have to come into this world as a baby, just like you came into this world on a spaceship, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But, spaceship. Yeah, but the reason, what was that? I lost my point, but the reason.
There's no such thing as space.
Oh, yeah, but because well, bro, yo, we're
NASA,
living on a pancake.
Not a space agency.
On a pancake right now. Yo, no, but there is. You can't blame God for cancer. You can't blame God for things because of multiple reasons. One, there's free will, and we do things that promote cancer, like the garbage eating and the sitting in the sun to be brown and tan and shit like that.
Drinking
poison and doing certain drugs and even the vapes with the toxic metals in them.
Oh, that's the worst. It's worse than smoking cigarettes.
So, yeah, I mean, it could be, yeah. And, that's one thing. Another thing is this is equal distribution, bro. These are also in your genetics, you know, and like God is a system. God provides us a system to change ourselves for the better, so that way, whether you believe in frequency or in Jesus Christ, you elevate yourself to where you're good. You know what I mean? You're good from the inside. You want to be good, and you're doing good things, and you're helping people around you. That's the point of the religion. So people, they're concerned with cancer. They're concerned with why am I broken? Why am I this and why am I that? But the Bible, and they're looking at the Bible and blaming Christ for it. What about every other religion? They don't blame any other religion about, you know what I'm saying? They just always want to beat down Yeshua the Messiah, bro. Jesus Christ the Messiah. You know what I'm saying? That was a short answer. But those are two small caveats.
No, but it's true.
Yeah,
short
in terms of what how I've read and what I've talking about.
Yeah, he's
you know?
On like the biblical side of it. You know?
Yeah, I mean, why would you say it's not fair to blame God, or it is fair to blame God?
Talk about it.
You know, on this, what I say when it comes to this, because people talk about it all the time and also question God or question the reason why. Like, why should this kid have this? Or why does my grandma have to go so soon? Well, it's life. Life. We're given a time when we're born, and we're given a time when we die. What we do between is up to us, and how we live is up to us. It's like the poem, it's like the poem, The Dash. You know, how are you going to live your life in between your dash? It's up to you. Children's a little different, but it could be a lot of reasons. The food, the environment. I mean, everything's different now. There's more cancer, I believe. I think a lot of it's the food. It's the environment. It's all, everything is polluted. Everything's poisoned.
I mean, everything has to die. We have the seasons, and our whole life is a mimic of the seasons, bro.
It is, and it's like you know? I said, it goes back to there's a time when you're supposed to, when you come to this earth, and there's a time when you need to leave. What happens between, you do the best you can do, you enjoy that person as much as you can, but when it's their time, it's their time. It's not God's fault that they're leaving at 2 years old. It's not God's fault that they're leaving at 80 years old. I mean, it's life.
Yeah, it's scary stuff, bro. The whole cancer thing, bro. Everybody's worst nightmare, bro. Especially, you know, like you said, you're like, you know, when it hits home like that, and you got people
when like it's a that, child, it's like just inexplainable.
Bro, child.
It is, because they haven't lived their life. So that's why it's even harder to understand and comprehend. Well, why? Why my child? You know, it's in the plan. There's a reason. You know, but now that child, that's your guardian angel. You know, they're the guardian angel for the next child you may have. You know, I believe, I know I have guardian angels. I had a sister that passed away way before me in the womb. And then Michael, and then my girlfriend that passed away, she had a tumor and she died in a car accident, you know, 8 years ago. And,
look at that, my man. Sorry to hear that.
So, my life changed when that happened, but I never questioned why it happened. It happened. So, but enjoy. Don't, you know, don't dwell or don't cry over what's happened. Embrace what you had, the time you had. But it's sad, man. It's sad when we lose somebody. I mean, I can cry over any of those people I love that died. It doesn't matter if it's, and some of them has been 20 years. Because we love. We're human beings. We love. But we can't question why it's happened. It's what it is.
Yeah, man.
And
you
we
can't.
Just gotta love them and remember them and we need to cherish their memories, and we need to, you know, we need to tell talk about them and embrace them, you know, because that person that may die may be the reason why something beautiful happens and begins, and their cause of death and their defeat to cancer may be the reason why now we can help so many more people with cancer, you know? Yeah. So I try to look at everything on the positive side, but it's not easy because when you're going through, you're going through it.
100%.
You know, it's, you know, I've had a lot of friends that lost their kids to cancer, and I feel very bad for them. It's, I mourn for them because, you know, it's horrible. Like, you should never go before your kids, ever. But it happens. It's life. This is what happens. And it's unfortunate. But, you know, how can we make their memory and make them here, being here? How can we make that, like, something great?
You know, people say things like, That's God making you go through tough things to make you stronger or for some reason. I don't think it's like that. I don't think it's a plan with
God doesn't want you to
suffer. Bigger outcome.
God doesn't want you to
suffer.
I
honestly think it's this is what your physical body is going to go through.
Yeah.
That's it. Everybody is born differently. Some people live long. Some people don't live as long.
Yeah.
That's just what your physical body can withstand and is what it is what it is. Some people are very tall and strong. Some people are short and weak, and vice versa.
I'm short and strong.
There you go, vice versa. Yeah. So I think it's really just what you were born with. This is the physical body.
God
you were
has
born
a plan
with.
For everybody that's born.
Yeah,
you know?
That's it. It was you were born this way. This is what your body is going to withstand and live this long.
But it's tough. It's tough for those parents who have to go through that and lose that child.
It's
you know?
Very tough. Very tough.
A lot of bad
it's,
things.
It's sad. You know, it's not right. You know, they shouldn't have to. That's pain that they shouldn't have to endure.
100%.
You know, and I know I was going to invite a friend of mine on tonight. We became friends through a mutual friend, and his son unfortunately passed away of cancer. Joe Jr. DeToma out from Long Island. And, you know, it's sad having, you know, I feel really sad for, and I feel the pain for my friend Joe. You know, he posts all the time about his son. They were best friends. And me and Joe, now he's like a brother to me. I love this guy. And it's like, he was a good dad, you know, he was a good dad. He loved his son. He spent time with his son. You know, it wasn't right that this happened, that his son had to leave this earth so young, at such a young age.
Of course.
Oh, you know, but, you know, he's an awesome guy. And, you know, and if that never happened, I would never met Joe, you know, probably. And Joe's changed my life. You know, I had some rough times and I would call him and he was there for me, especially a couple years ago. I mean, he was like the first person. And we had just become friends maybe a year before that who reached out because he was worried and concerned. And, you know, I love that guy. He's like a brother to me. But I mourned for him, his loss of his son, because it was his best friend, you know?
Wow, that's tough.
So it's sad, man. It's tough. It's tough.
Very tough.
You know?
Very tough.
And all we can do as friends and as brothers of our friends and our family that lose these young kids is all we can do is be there for the support. I mean, you just support them. Do whatever it takes. You got to support. You got to be there. Doesn't matter what it is. If they need you to drive there at a certain hour, you need to call you at 2 a.m, all you got to do is be there to support.
Bro, I remember going to chemotherapy with somebody that I know, and we were celebrating around that time his last birthday, and he knew it was his last birthday, and everybody knew it was his last birthday, bro. It's unreal, bro. Crazy feeling. Yeah, kids and shit.
Everybody's just happy. Piece, everybody's man. Just being as positive they can be around.
I mean, you know, those moments where you forget, and it's like everybody's like high-fiving or
that's
probably
what they want.
And
that's what they want, though. Yeah. They want everybody to be natural and not to be pity, you know, not to be pity on them. They want everybody to just be naturally happy.
Yeah.
Everybody knows what's going on, but let's just enjoy the moment. That's
it's
tough.
It's all about,
it.
You know, life. That's why you say life is about living in the moment.
Yeah.
You got to live in the moment.
And the person knowing they have that time limit, they just want to enjoy the moment.
Yeah.
The moment. People that think, I'm going to live to whatever, 90, 100, they don't live in the moment.
No. Got to live in the moment, man. It's just every day is a new day, and every day you wake up is another opportunity. You know?
Well, what do you do for your mental health dealing with? This, you know, this, it's unique what you deal with. Not many people deal with dying children. That's one of the toughest things and one of the rarest things.
Yeah. You know, I wasn't dealing with it. I didn't.
Just sweep it under the rug?
Yeah. A lot of, you know, I'll keep it 100. It's been so long. I had went into bad substance abuse. And because me, I have like ADD, so I'm always hyper. I'm always talkative. And I'm always thinking. That's a problem with people like us, like Michael, like us who have that go, go, go all the time. People think we're on drugs when we're like that. We ain't on drugs when we're like that. It's who we are. So how do you turn that off? You can't. You can't turn it off. And all we do is think. And it's tough, man. And I'll be honest with you. I had developed like a 10-year addiction, 10 years. And because what it did, it stopped me from thinking. It numbed the pain. Because what do men, what do we not like to do? Feel our feelings. We don't want to feel our feelings.
Numb it. Distractions.
Whether it's,
keep it moving.
Whether it's drinking, mm-hmm. whether it's sex, whether it's drugs, whether it's work. Pornography, even whether work. It's work, whether it's anything. Everyone has a vice. And but that doesn't do anything. It doesn't solve the problem.
Sweeps it under the rug.
Sweeps it under the rug and makes it worse over time. And one of these days, you're either going to get through it or you're going to put a gun in your mouth and blow your brains out.
Or you got to outwork it.
You got to work through it. That's the only way. That's the only way.
Without getting into detail, there's a lot of old school community type dudes, right? That they're living in their torment for whatever the reason, right? Whatever the situation, it could be anything, all right? But they'll literally throw it on their back and keep it moving and just grind every day to the in the box. Because there's nothing else they can do.
Yeah.
They either give into it, which they're not going to do, you know, to whatever the addiction or the hold over their life is, or they're just going to bury that shit and keep it moving. And the only way you keep it moving is to keep throwing dirt on top of that shit, bro.
Yeah, that's not a good way to live is what I mean.
No, it's not. It's terrible.
No, it's horrible.
But it's doable.
The topic is mental health, and this is a horrible way to be.
Mental health is the biggest understatement in this country.
Yeah.
It's everyone is dealing with it, and they're either dealing with it or they're barely surviving.
They're distracting it. Everybody's addicted to the phone now, and just swiping
through.
Because
everyone's
through.
Always worried about what are people are going to think. Where I'm going to be judged.
Exactly.
At this point, I mean, two guys can marry each other. So what the fuck are we going to judge about?
It's 2024.
Right.
Let your hair down. That's be it. Yourself. Some people are going to be mad and disappointed, but it's okay. Yeah. Be yourself
it
and
is
relax.
What it is.
I was in a discussion Zoom. Church Zoom call group thing.
Talk
right?
about it.
Over the weekend, right? And it's once a month, very informative, right? But there was somebody that mentioned, nice person, very smart people there, mentioned that they weren't feeling it hearing God the Father and the male pronouns for God. I pointed out, you know, the obvious that Jesus was a male, right? And he always said Abba. Or Baba, which in Arabic is dad.
Yeah.
Right? Or daddy, I guess. And, you know, we would all assume that if God's the spirit or the Holy Spirit part of God, not that it's three distinct parts, that's still one God, is above male and female, right? Like you would assume he's a spirit, he's not male or female. You know, that's... I think that's like substance, like, you know, two things that have to exist to be able to bring a third. And that's why there's a male energy and female energy, right? Because there's a duality in everything all over everything ever, you know? So, but how do you feel about that? If somebody walked in, if you walked into a church and the guy said Mother God or Goddess or just applied female terms to God, you as a Catholic and... I know you were born Catholicism.
At this point in my life, I don't care what people refer to it as. Whatever makes you feel comfortable and, you know, whatever, you know, works for you is what works for you.
Yeah.
We all have one God and we all just consider it something different or we have a different language or a different religion around it. But we all are talking about the same thing. So I don't care if they call it female or male. To me, it doesn't matter. To me, it's not male or female either.
Yeah, to somebody saying like Allah, whatever, you're still talking about God.
Yeah, so
yeah,
I don't mind.
God is everything.
Yeah, I don't mind if somebody calls it male or female.
Yeah,
as long as we're all talking about the same thing and it's all good.
What about you? You think? I mean, I ain't gonna lie. I was a little thrown aback.
I look at God as God. God is everything. You know, God is everywhere. God is everything. And, when I pray for protection, I pray to Jesus. I'm a Catholic. You know, I ask for the blood of Jesus Christ to protect me and keep me pure and keep me safe, keep my family pure and safe and healthy. So, you know, everyone has their own higher power, they say, whether it's whatever religion it is, you know, mm-hmm. it's whatever you're born into and whatever you feel like you believe. So that's why, you know, when it comes to judging, I never judge anybody for anything because I'm not God. Only God can judge us. So that's my take on God. God is everywhere. God is everything.
But you believe Jesus Christ is God, right?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like he amen, came
in,
me too.
In the human form.
Yeah, no, mm-hmm. As do I. A lot of people
when you're
like...
talking about the being born and you know, coming in as a baby and stuff, just like us.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah, there's a divine order, bro. There's a... this is like the way, like science is a tool of God, bro. Like people stay trying to use science to try to disprove God, but I don't know. To me, I'm not a scientist, but you know, I'm great at math, and math's the king of science. So, huh?
There you go. Me too. Yeah,
you know, math. I don't. Are you gonna edit that out?
So since we're talking about this topic, yeah. Right? So this is why Mike, like, so. When I met Mike, what the first time we talked, we were talking about this, talking about God and our beliefs. And he always, even though it took me a while to see him again, after he donated that one time and it took me a while to follow up. And
I was hiding from this dude.
No, yeah, yeah. He's like, I was wondering if that check cash, you know, he just took it and ran off. But like, I never forgot him because of the conversation we had about God and about just our beliefs and stuff. So he always was in the back of my head. And then when I felt it was the right time and I was in the right place, I decided to come see him and come reach back out because it was so impressionable, my first encounter with him. You know, besides he donated, to me, it doesn't matter. What was more important to me that I took away from that meeting was not the donation he gave, was the experience and what we talked about. You know, because that's what helped me that day I met him. He don't even realize the impact that conversation had on me and my life at that time. It was huge.
God bless you, man. God is good, bro.
Yeah.
God is good, man. You know, friend, there's a thing. People like to like, oh man, God doesn't look out for me. God is going to damn that evil person. God shoots out the blessings all day long to everybody.
It's whether you're prepared for them or not.
Yeah, man. No, you look like if you're quarterbacking to me and I'm not looking, I'm going to miss the ball, bro.
Exactly.
And if you're not doing the right thing that's true and useful, then you're going to miss the ball. Period.
Yep.
So it ain't all God favors me and doesn't favor him and didn't favor that girl, or what did that girl do to deserve it? She didn't do anything to deserve it. But you know how much useful things happen even from that tragedy, like this man was saying earlier?
Yeah.
You know, I know somebody that passed away, horrific car accident, changed the whole family's lives, bro. And if it wasn't for that, people wouldn't have turned around and went on a straight and narrow, and those people are carrying everybody on their shoulders. You know, and if it wasn't for the guy with the broad shoulders wouldn't even, maybe he would have been next, you know what I mean? For the way the lifestyle was. So those things matter, man. Like, you know, rest in peace, man, to the people in your life that you came across. That was a good question, man. How do you get with that? Because like you said, I know a doctor and he had to, you know, go a few times and tell the families like, you know, this and that, like this guy didn't make it. And there was a few times, man, where it stuck with him, bro. And he's not the type that he's going to talk about and tell everybody. Yeah. But you know something's bothering him. And when you get to that point in a conversation, like it's because of work, like damn, like I never had to deal with that at work. You know, you were a CEO. I'm sure you saw crazy shit.
Of course, every day.
That stuck with you. Yeah. He was a CEO for 10 years.
Oh, I didn't
nearly
know that.
Bro. Yeah, and yeah. Max facilities and shit. So you can't, you know.
That's crazy.
You guys seeing the toughest parts of life at both ends, man.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, then I learned.
They're both a prison.
Yeah.
The cancer's a prison.
Everything.
Some people get stuck. Out, not many. You know?
It's your environment. That, you know, that was my environment. And, you know, after I got through what I got through with, like, you know, substance abuse, self-care for me was like going to a spa, sitting in a banya, a Russian bathhouse, eating food, you know? You made sure you went on the weekend, saw the girls, you know, not just the guys, you know?
Oh, man.
So,
yeah, I was going to say, don't go to Turkish ones. But,
you know, don't go to the Chinese ones. They all naked in there.
Oh, man.
But, nope. But you know, self-care is important. Whatever industry you're in, whether it's nonprofit, non-nonprofit, you can't let yourself get burnt out. Because when you get burnt out, you look for things that really, they may help temporarily, but they ain't gonna help you long term. It's gonna make it worse.
Bro, anybody running a business is burnt out.
100%.
Unless you like the most unsuccessful garbage businessman, like or person or whatever. But
yeah, you gotta give yourself time. You gotta give yourself a break. And you got to take care of you, because if you don't take care of you, ain't nobody going to take care of you but you when it comes to our industries.
Yeah, yeah. Amen, you know? Man. Yeah, about your industry, when's the next event?
The next event. So we're about to start up our events now. We just had our first little fundraiser we did in Brooklyn. Shout out to the Calyps, my boy Peter Venuto and his family. Where I'm actually going to do a post on this. We did our first fundraiser with them this year for Carnival out in Gargiulio's in Brooklyn. We raised $2,106 in about 2 hours, 3 hours. Beautiful event. So shout out to them for having us come in and be able to do our raffles. Our next event, I believe, is going to be sometime. I think it's the first festival that we're a part of. Or no, it's actually it's coming up. Daytona Bike Week. Daytona Bike Week's coming up in 2 weeks, March 1st to the 10th. We're going to be down at Cabbage Patch Bar, Cackleberry Campgrounds. This will be our third year. We basically walk around. We you know, MC on the mic, and we raise money for our foundation there. We give out bracelets and stuff so people can, you know, support the movement, tell cancer to bounce. So that's our next event, and our real first big event of our season is Daytona Bike Week with those two.
When
two
is that? Weeks. In that spring?
March 1st to the March 10th. Yep, it's Daytona. And then we're also at Rory Dolan's. Shout out to Rory Dolan and his business and his restaurant. We've been doing fundraisers with them since like 2015. We have during St. Patty's Day Parade, we're you can find us at Rory's. We'll be selling our wristbands and shirts and stuff to help the kids with cancer. So shout out to those guys. Last year, I think we raised about $6,000 during St. Patty's Day at Rory's. It was awesome.
Oh, nice. Yeah, good time. Right there on McLean.
Yeah, right on McLean.
Very nice.
Yep.
Let the people know where they can find you.
So childrenscancersociety.org is our website. Our Instagram, Tell Cancer, the number 2, Tell Cancer 2 Bounce is our IG. And one thing, if you saw me going through my phone here, there's one thing I wanted to touch on that I think is really important for people to hear. I heard this at a church, Christian church I went to down in Florida with a friend of mine. And you know, and I'm going to tell a story about this real quick to tie into this. When we decided to rebrand our organization, it took some time. It took about a year and a half. When I was going to change the name to the Children's Cancer Society or Children's Cancer Society of America, these names were taken in New York, okay? But there was no evidence of these organizations. They filed and every year just to keep their name, but they don't do nothing. They don't have no presence. I call this lady. I got a hold of her. I says, hey, what are you doing with the name Children's Cancer Society? She's like, what do you mean? I says, well, I'm Love Holds Life, the Children's Cancer Society, Love Holds Life. And we're rebranded to this name to go national. She's like, oh, well, we're gonna be changing our website around, coming back in. We're in North Carolina right now. So I says, what do you guys do? Well, we used to donate stuff with cars. I don't even know what it was. It made no sense, okay? They had the organization since 2005. They don't raise no money. Nothing. So I said to her, I said, well, what's your website? Childrenscancersociety.org. I said, well, that's impossible. It's been my website for 2 years. So with that message, and it's very important for you people listening, you can't, hold on. Well, you can edit this. So what's important about this message is, and I learned it, you may not lose your gift, but you lose the opportunity to use your gift. Think about that. This woman, God called her in 05 to do something for children with cancer. She had the name, a brilliant name. Because when I was told this name, I should use this, I couldn't believe it wasn't taken. I own all the websites, Children's Cancer Society of America. Nobody used it. I said, how? In 60 years of cancer. You may not lose your gift, but lose the opportunity to use your gift. I told the lady, I said, I cannot give you this website back.
It's a good one.
I said, because you lost the opportunity to use the gift that God called you to do. This is not a game. This is God's world we're playing in. This is not a game. So he chose me after you decided not to follow through. And in 12 years or 10 years, we want to expand. And God gave us this name because I refuse to lose the opportunity to use my gift. And that's message. Just I'll never forget that message. Because you may have thought about creating that selfie stick. But guess what? You lost. You lost that gift to create it because you didn't act on it. You got to act on the gifts God gave you. Because if you don't, God will give those gifts to somebody else. He will.
That's a very...
And I refuse to be that person.
Well, he'll give the reward to somebody else because you won't lose the gift, but you'll the lose reward. The time.
Yeah, you lose the reward.
Do it.
You lose the opportunity to achieve what God wanted you to achieve because you chose not to act. So that's our thing. Tell Cancer to Bounce. Excited about this year. Big changes. We're going into brain cancer research to add to our organization to honor my friend's son who passed away of cancer. We're going to the next step. We're going to the next level. So we need all the funding we can get to fund these children that we're helping and also to fund our new mission to solve brain cancer and make sure no child ever has to die from it again. Amen.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Follow this guy. Help him out as much as you can. It's for a good cause, definitely.
And our Venmo, Tell Cancer to Tell Cancer to Bounce. If you want to Venmo us, and otherwise, you can go on our website and make a donation, thechildrenscancersociety.org.
Yeah, awesome.
Any last words, guys?
Yeah, man, make sure you take care of your books so that way you can last the long haul, like you were saying before.
Yeah.
You know, best of luck to you, man. Continue Thanks. Being brave and... And make sure, and then when you can't sleep, man, make sure you're still doing the praying and maybe add a little meditation, you know, and keep going, bro. Keep grinding, man. God bless you. Protect you always, bro.
Thank you, man.
Thank you. Thank you for
hosting. Thanks for having us on, too. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure.
First podcast, baby. Fran Jez. Wednesday.
Thank you, everybody, for watching. You can catch me on Spotify, Apple Podcast. Please give me a thumbs up, subscribe, share, comment. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Peace and love.
Peace.
El Khamis. Peace.
Arrivederci.
Peace, love, and wisdom.